GAA on Off the Ball.
All right, Paul Pittock-Caffrey's with us. You're very welcome. Paul, how are you?
Great, Ger, thanks. Yeah.
So we've, if listeners on the radio have just heard a clip from this morning's OTB AM where Ty Kennelly, all the way from Australia, was Skyping in trying to do a little bit of voodoo magic and telling everybody what they should do. He says that if he was part of the Dublin setup, he would start Jim McConnelly, and if he was part of the Kerry setup, he'd be starting Tommy Walsh. The logic is that you're dictating the terms and you're making your opposition think, and they're suddenly in a conflab on the sideline going, what are we going to do? Who's going to pick this guy up?
Yeah, look, it makes loads of sense in terms of what Kerry would do with Tommy Walsh. Tommy Walsh is, he's not your normal sub coming in. This guy is 6'4", 6'5". He's a beast of a man. So you can't put one of your normal orthodox, you know, Davy Bourne or Johnny Cooper or any of these guys next or near him. You know, what Dublin have done, I was down at the National League game, they threw James McCarthy back. They threw him back last week on him. Didn't get much joy out of it, I have to say. Tommy Walsh still dictated terms for that 10 minutes or so.
And just the league game is a good thing to bring up, because in that first half, James McCarthy had kicked 3 points, I think, or 2 points anyway. No, he was sensational.
He was, yeah, absolutely. And I don't think it suits James going back into the full back line. I'm not sure he enjoys it going back in there. So you're really taking a huge cog out of Dublin by forcing that early on. I don't know whether there's a plan B for Dublin if that happens, whether Mick Fitzsimons would be able to muscle it with him. You know, they want Tommy Walsh on the field, I feel, when the game's going to be decided. It ain't going to be decided in the first half. So that's why I don't see them starting him. The Dermot Connolly one, from Dublin point of view, I think there will be changes in the Dublin setup. When Jim had the chance against Mayo a couple of years ago, he made three changes in between the draw match and the replay. You know, a guy that came in and impressed greatly the last day is Owen Merchant. I think he actually would suit some of the man-marking jobs that are required on the speedy fellas.
Yeah, Stephen O'Brien, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But what if Stephen O'Brien is man-marking
Jack McCaffrey
in the same place? Yeah, then this is why Clark Corbett situation.
Yeah, this is why it's actually a fascinating game to look forward to, because, like, let's be honest, we all thought it'd go a certain way the last day. And, you know, I left Croke Park like every other supporter, Dublin supporter, relieved that we were getting another crack at it, because I thought Dublin underperformed. I thought Kerry, you know, controlled the game, won a lot of the battles. And I felt, you know, with 4 or 5 minutes ago, I said, we're done and dusted here. It's all ending in a ball of flames. Whereas now it's so fascinating to see. And you know what? You can be sure the fellas who starred, and there was only 4 stars for Dublin the last day. Cluxton does what he always does, and that's Mr. Consistent. Jack McCaffrey had a brutal semi-final. Durkin actually destroyed him. Turns around as man of the match the next day. Jack McCaffrey will not be man of the match again, because Kerry won't. Just, you know, they've seen what he can do. Somebody will be tagging him every time he tries to do something this time, whether it's O'Brien or whether it's Paul Murphy, we don't know. Brian Howard has been sensational all year for Dublin.
Yeah.
He's the unsung hero. He's getting through buckets of work. He's the sweetest sidestep. Brilliant kick passer of the game, can feel. So he really is a Mr. Utility. He can play in the half-back line, he can play in the midfield, he can play in the half-forward line. So I think he will get another very consistent game out of him. And Dean Rock was the other one who looked, shot the lights out from play,
yeah,
as well as his frees. But
the amazing catch under the Hogan stand as well.
Yeah, but like you're saying, right, you know, the guys that we're all speaking about going into last week's games, the Mannions, the Kilkennys, the Cons, they all underperformed the last day, you know, have no doubt about it. You know, we were, I won't say obliterated at midfield, but we certainly lost the midfield battle.
There was rumours immediately afterwards that Fenton wasn't right, and everybody heard them, and then it emerged that there's a back injury. Like,
And it adds up, because, you know, I know Jack Barry has done a phenomenal job, and he's a man marker at midfield, which is very annoying if you're a midfielder, a classic midfielder as Fenton is, where he likes to go catch the ball, spray the ball around, carry the ball, play it on his terms, and all of a sudden he's a guy in his face or a guy touching him before the ball is even kicked out. So it's unusual to see it at midfield, but he has Fenton's number up to now, so something has to change there. I think Dublin will make a change at midfield. I just feel they will want to have McCauley on for the last 20 minutes where he can run riot. I don't think they'll start him because he doesn't tend to last the games.
I heard a theory today that, everybody's talking about the last 10, 15 minutes when Dublin are a man down and yet they're the ones who are dominating possession, and they're the ones dominating territory, they're the ones making the turnover, that it wasn't that Kerry choked, it was that actually they got gassed because they've never been in these championship minutes against a side as good as Dublin. that naturally enough, this quite young team haven't got the experience of being flat out against the board for 71, 72, 73 minutes. And the Dublin subs didn't have the impact that they had traditionally, but they still had a big impact.
Yeah, no, I would say scoring-wise, the bench isn't as potent as it was. And that's a fact. You know, Kevin McMenamin, you know, he's been such a star for Dublin. He's broke Kerry's backs so often, but he's not the player he was 4 years ago. You know, Dermot Connolly came in 68 minutes, Kevin came in the 70th minute, I think, and Cormac Costello came. Now, both Dermot and Cormac got shots off in that period. You know, two very close efforts. It took Hawkeye to intervene in one of them. You know, they could have been winning scores, either of them. Dermot's shot, you know, everyone's gone about it, 45 metres out or whatever, but Dermot Connolly's done this routinely for club
allowed.
And county. You know, he is one of the shooters that is allowed to do that. So irrespective, it was one of the most tense 10 or 12 minutes that I've ever watched in my life.
It was sensational sport and drama.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is
it reminded
there a possibility
me of the,
that, go on, sorry.
No, it reminded me of Tyrone Armagh when they met, and it was the intensity, that the same intensity that they brought to the table that day, knowing each other so well. For two teams who aren't that familiar with each other, I just thought it was phenomenal sport. It was phenomenal viewing. And you know what? I'm so unsure of myself compared to the last day. I've massive respect for these Kerry guys. Haven't seen them close up in the flesh twice. And I think there'll be nothing in this. This could go to extra time tomorrow.
Is there a possibility that Kerry did tire in that last 10?
Absolutely.
It wasn't just the magnitude of the occasion, that actually physically they couldn't do the things they were doing in the first half.
There's no doubt about it. The guys had covered so much room. And for anyone that was down close to pitch side, this was a heavily, heavily, while there wasn't big hits in it, it was very physical. There was an awful lot of hard running done by guys. So guys were flat out. Like the main, you know, guys for Kerry, like the Mordens and the O'Briens, like they fizzled over at the end. Yeah. They just didn't have the legs anymore.
Can I ask you about, so Jim obviously released his video that he did with Dubs TV, and he was talking about there not being a split in the camp. Now, they've obviously heard the speculation that there is a split in the camp, and he's felt the need to come out and address it. Which is unusual enough that he would be...
Give it air.
That he'd be bothered by it,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But obviously, somewhere along the way, it's just rankled with him a little bit.
See, I suppose, look, from a pundit's point of view, there's so little comes out of this Dublin camp. You know, this was a huge decision by Jim. Dermot Connolly back. It was on everybody's lips for the last number of months. All of a sudden, it was done and dusted. He was going to Boston. And then, within 24 hours, didn't make the flight. And he's available to Dublin again. So somebody had to reach out and say, look, Dermot, we're still interested in you. That's the way it works. So it was a huge decision. But I would think that Jim looked at the greater good and said, you know what? As a management team, they said, our bench isn't what it was 2 years ago. Would we be fools if Dermot Connolly's back in the country, available to us, and it comes to the last 10 minutes of an All-Ireland final and he's not togged out with us?
Yeah.
How neglectful would that be?
Well, if they'd lost the game... And Connolly's watching in the ground.
Everybody's
camera's
saying,
going to pan to Dermot Connolly, and everybody's going to go, oh, Jim, you should have picked him.
See, unfortunately now, you know, people don't realise, but you can only name 26. So big names left out: Eric Lowndes, Owen O'Gara, Bernard Brogan. Like, the Bernard Brogan situation is, you know, as everybody's interest and, you know, as everybody's gandered up this week in terms of should he or should he not be.
What would you do?
Not having seen him in training, it is very, very hard to give a definitive view. I thought for the short few minutes he got against Tyrone, he looked very decent. He looked very hungry. I seen him physically, he looks in immaculate shape.
Yeah.
And I think he would gander huge respect from whatever Kerry Connor back was going to pick him up. The big surprise, I suppose, was that Paddy Small jumped the queue ahead of Dermot and Cormac Costello. For me, that was a bigger surprise, that was the pecking order. Would I make room for Bernard Brogan? I think I would, yeah. But Jim is, and his management team are the ones looking at him week in, week out, and, you know, must know, is there a good 10 minutes in him? Because that's all you're looking at.
There was a big debate about that this morning with the lads, and there was a consensus. Donoghue was here, Michael Quinlan was here, and Kevin Caban was sitting where you were sitting, and he was just asking, you know, obviously the power of the experience in those championship minutes is something that you want. There is also a case to be made, though, that this Dublin team were at its best when it wasn't the world famous starters coming in to finish the game, when it was subs like Cormac Costello bursting in and kicking 3 points in the All-Ireland final, or when Kevin McManaman with all the hunger is the one absolutely going hell for leather in the last couple of minutes. So I can see the case that if you've been a training all year and you think Paddy Small is the new Costello, he's your guy. And you're, the thing that made your team great is the new guy coming up and knocking people off.
And Jerry, you have to respect that. Jim has brought on Paddy Small in every championship game this year. So he obviously sees that this is the future. Now, it's a big gamble when the future is tomorrow for 78 minutes. You know, I think you'll see a more conservative game tomorrow.
Do you? Yeah, I actually do.
You know, all along I would have feeling, I would have buying into, yeah, Kerry had to score three goals to beat this Dublin team. But now that they've locked horns, Kerry know, yeah, you know what, we're as good as these guys. We just have to try and finish it out now. Dublin have got the fright of their lives. I'd say there'll be quite a bit of anger in the Dublin camp, knowing how close they were to it evaporating. And, you know, be under no illusion, when this journey is over for this group, there will be a lot of retirements fairly quickly.
You know? This year, it looks like it, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I think, look, whether they win tomorrow, hopefully from Dublin point of view, they do win, but if they lose tomorrow, there will be a raft of retirements. These guys have, they've put their lives on hold. Like, you know, the prize is huge for us as supporters looking in. It's absolutely massive in that it's history and it has never been done before. And we're all wondering, you know, have they feet of clay when they see the finishing line, or are they going to be energised? I think you're going to get a better overall Dublin performance tomorrow. I'm not sure Kerry will reach the same heights that they reached the last day. But I think there are individuals who didn't play well, the Geanies, the Cliffords, they'll be more potent tomorrow.
I feel like Kerry are actually on track to improve significantly, and it's up to Dublin to, because they feel a bit like a horse race, kind of coming into themselves. Like the Tyrone game, the first half of that Tyrone game, they were absolutely
awful.
Yeah. Second half, they're much better. Yeah. And the improvement from that to now is huge. It's a quantum leap. And I think they can do that same quantum leap, but I also think that the Dubs can still win. Like, that's why the game should be, hopefully, one of the greatest games we've ever seen.
No, it is, there's nobody calling it loud this week. You know, all the brashness from the Dubs is all quiet now, and everybody has looked these fellas in the eye and saying, wow, these kids are good. And the other thing that I admire about what Kerry are bringing to the table now, besides youth, they are bringing massive pace. Their young fellas are so suited to Croke Park. They can cover the ground. You know, really, there's only one Jack McCaffrey in the game at the moment, but Kerry have three or four other guys who have exceptional pace. And when they add that little bit of strength that goes with a couple of years under their belt, you know, these guys are coming to take over.
You're putting Merchant in the team. Where does he start?
I would put Merchant in. Martin Mack on job. I would actually release James McCarthy to midfield.
Okay.
And I would put Merchant on O'Shea.
Right, okay.
I thought he did a lot of damage around the game the last day. I think size-wise, physique-wise, Murch would be well suited to him. I think Kerry will dictate who they're putting on Jack McCaffrey. I don't think Dublin will have a say in that.
Yeah.
But they certainly will have a say in who goes. Dublin will have a say in who goes on. Murch has played an awful lot of his football at Naveen at six, at underage at six.
Has he?
Okay. Yeah, and he's a brilliant man marker. And I see him as being the fly in the ointment that's going to come in, and I think Jim will roll out the same six forwards, and I think James McCarthy will go to midfield.
That, I mean, I think that would be good for McCarthy as well. Like, it's probably his best position.
Once we don't see Tommy Walsh.
If Tommy Walsh comes on, though, can Philly McMahon not do that job? Can Johnny Cooper not do that job, or try it?
Johnny physically, you know, was in a bit of bother with Clifford just by his sheer size. And to get around a guy that's that wide and that big, that's the problem. You know, Johnny's a good enough footballer. He's a very good man marker. But it's the actual physical size of a guy. And I don't think it'll be a good matchup with Tommy Walsh at all.
OK, so Fitzsimons has to stay on Clifford, though, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Johnny picked Clifford tomorrow.
Right.
I think Johnny is one of his trusted guys. He's one of his go-to guys. I think Johnny will put his hand up and he'll ask for that
job
again.
What if he gets bumped in the first 10 minutes? Then Johnny changes him off him.
I think then you see something different happening. But look, I don't believe Walsh will start with Kerry.
Right.
Because I think they'll want him on to impact the game when it's in the melting pot. If he starts, it's very, very hard to see him still being there at the end. And I think that would be a huge disadvantage for Kerry.
We've obviously, and rightly so, in some ways, we get sucked into talking who's going to mark who. What about game plans and dictating the terms and being the team? So, since the Dublin defeat to Donegal, when Jim Gavin changed exactly his outlook on life as a manager. They haven't really ever worried about the opposition. Dublin went about their business. The defenders rotated, kept the ball. The midfielders sprinted towards the corner flags. They did the V shape. There was a basketball. There's that diamond in front of the scoring area, a circle in front of the scoring area where everybody kind of gets in. It's amazing movement to watch. If they don't do that and they start worrying about what Kerry are doing, then they've gone away from the thing that made them four-time All-Ireland champions.
Yeah, I'm not so sure. I think you'll see a lot of it in mano-mano tomorrow. I actually think that Dublin probably didn't give Kerry the full respect that what Kerry were going to come with the last day, because everybody, it was in everybody's head, I know, the Kerry back line, and you know, it's just not good enough. But hey, these fellas last day were brilliant. Mm. The Kerry back line did a massive job on Kilkenny and on Paul Mannion and on Conn, and I think there's a huge learning there for Dublin that they will take out of that. And I think, look, the other big learning will be from Dublin point of view, you will see the subs in a lot earlier if things aren't going well. Is that enough to swing it for Dublin? You know what? The fascinating thing is every dub that I've spoken to this week is a lot more nervous, a lot more cautious. And I would think within the camp, that's the way they'd be approaching it.
Yeah.
They will be saying there's massive, huge respect for this Kerry team now that they've earned from the last day. And hey, this is a massive challenge.
My initial feeling immediately after the game was that Dublin were in control on the scoreboard when Cooper got sent off, and if they'd had 15 men, it would have had a knock-on impact. But then after a while, you remember back to the chances that Kerry missed. Well, it was 15 on 15.
Yeah,
James McCarthy clears one off the line.
On his knees. Like, it wasn't a normal save at all. It was an incredible position to find himself in. You know, a penalty, you expect the team to score it. Okay. Albeit that he got a point off it, O'Shea is such a good 45 kicker. You know, the Paul Murphy chance in the second half, the goal they got. So Kerry had genuinely four really good goal chances. And, you know, my fear is that they would still conjure up three goals. And if they score three goals, I don't think Dublin beat them. And I think Kerry will know, yeah, you know, this idea of coming in and 2-on-1 situation, be happy enough to punch ball over the bar. I think you'll see Gainey and Clifford looking for that killer pass.
Yeah.
I think they will be hungry looking for the goals, knowing that they created four chances the last day.
It doesn't automatically follow as well, the 15 and 15, because Dublin were ahead, that they're going to win this game and it's going to be straightforward for them.
The one thing I can guarantee you, Ger, there will be nothing straightforward about tomorrow night. You know, it is eagerly anticipated, and I think it's going to be an actual phenomenal game in terms of how this whole pans out. There's so much in the melting pot, and we are now looking at an exceptional bunch of Kerry footballers coming. We're probably looking at, you know, the end of an era for some of these Dublin players. It's hard to conceive that Cluxton, you know, the best keeper that's ever played the game, is going to have the appetite to stay on next year at 38 years of age.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So the dynamics is going to change, I think, very quickly for this Dublin squad, but it is all about, can they put in a performance to get over the line tomorrow night?
Yeah. Do you think they're going to do it?
I think it's going to go the extra time, and I have a good feeling that Dublin just might sneak over the line.
Right.
That's both head and heart.
Paul, that sounds like a good game. Thanks a million for joining us today.
Cheers.
Enjoy. Thanks a million. GAA on Off the Ball.